looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You or Jayla? Yeah, yeah, Neo. Yeah, they wanna know.
Hey.
Neo.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah, Neo.
Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Lindsay Weber.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And happy People's Sexiest Man Day to you, Bobby.
Oh, happy People's Sexiest Man Day to you. I had a cake in the shape of a koozie made to celebrate the occasion.
In the shape of a koozie.
Mm-hmm.
That you like would put on a beer, but it's a cake.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up this morning. I was so excited. I was like, who's the sexiest man? I ran down from my bedroom. I don't have a house. I checked in the stockings. did Santa leave me a sexy man? Did People Magazine leave me a sexy man? I opened my computer. I typed in sexiest man 2017. And there it was. Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton. I woke up and I ran downstairs. And I picked the phone and I called Jess Cagle and I said, hey, Jess, it's me. Can you tell me who the sexiest man is? And he said, how did you get this number? It's Blake Shelton. And then he said,
Bobby, it's you. Love ya. Bye. And hung up. Yes, it's true. Blake Shelton is People's Sexiest Man. It's kind of this like incredible. We have a call about this. We could play it, but I almost feel like we just could talk now. But It's almost this amazing backlash to like 2017. It's like the head in the sand reaction where it's like, who? What? President? Huh? What? Politics? Blake Shelton. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you read the
the explanation why?
Well, there's the explanation why, which is because he didn't want to do it. And then Gwen Stefani was like, do it, you should do it.
That is the biggest bullshit, you know that, right?
But I did like, he was very, there was that Akilah Hughes tweet that I was seeing retweeted everywhere and that just said, did everyone else die? Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Which is perfect. That's the perfect commentary. But he made the same joke in the People story. He said, y'all must be running out of people. Which is funny. It's funny that it's a joke. That it's immediately a joke that like, LOL, look who it is. Can
sure.
you believe it?
Wow, we have run out of celebrities with both eyes and things like that. We're just down to somebody who is somewhat symmetrical. That must be all you had left to look for.
I think if it was any other year, if it wasn't this year and with like what the culture is like this year, I would be like, Blake Shelton, great. He's harmless. He's cute. He's very nice. If you watch The Voice, you're definitely a fan of his because he's very likable. And him and Gwen Stefani have a relationship built for tabloids. Like they, you know, they're, you hate them, but like that means that they're perfect. You know,
they
like they're perfect. So it makes sense to have him from a business standpoint. It's just really funny that we have this like white country guy as our sexiest man in 2017, you know? Well, it's funny. The other day we were driving back from Boston or to Boston, I forget, and I made you play like Hot Country, my favorite.
Oh, I'd never heard a song. It was The Way to Boston.
And it was The Way to Boston, and I was playing Hot Country, and his new song came on, which might even not be his new song anymore. It's like his second new song.
It's like a month and a half old.
And it's called, like, You Name the Babies, I'll Name the Dogs, or something. Is that what it's called? And
it's
literally
just called I'll Name the Dogs.
It's the refrain is about, it. The concept is, like, we're going to get a house together, and you can, like, do the cleaning, and I'll do, like, the
concept
shooting.
The concept is gender. Gender. The concept is gender.
The concept is, like, gender is terrible.
Gender and, like, norms. And, like, can you believe gender? And it's, right. It's like, I'll mow the grass and you'll paint the walls and, like, you'll do the dishes, but, like, I'll buy the beer and,
it said you'll be funny and I'll, or I'll, you'll
be the pretty and
I'll
be
funny.
You be the pretty, I'll be the funny. And then at the end it's you name the babies and I'll name the dogs, which is like, I don't even in what world is that charming? You name the babies and I'll name the dogs.
Yeah. It's not.
I feel like the conversation, like, he would sing that to some woman that he's fucking, and then she'd be like, I'm allergic to dogs. How do you not know that? Where, like, he's trying to be cute, but it just shows off that he's completely oblivious.
It's just one of those funny decisions that is, I'm sure, very, very business driven. And if you have any insider information, if you work at People Magazine, and you want to call us and tell us exactly how this decision was made, we will not play it if you don't want us to. But I desperately want to know because there's got to
be more. Was the vetting process even more exhaustive this year? Like, did they have someone else who could have maybe been problematic? And they were like, you know what? Let's just go with Blake Shelton. Because honestly, the only good way to have actually done this year would have been like, let's skip Sexiest Man in 2017. You know, like, that would have been kind of interesting.
Oh, that would have been amazing. Like, no man.
Let's go.
No man.
let's maybe not do it this year. And this seems like the joke of Blake Shelton almost seems like an okay substitute because it's not serious.
At least choose a gay man in 2017. Like, come on.
God, it's like
the least you could do.
Jim Parsons, the sexiest man alive.
Okay, well, you know,
but I did,
there are other options.
I did like the end of this. It is very funny. So Adam Levine was sexiest man last year, 2 years ago.
Which is insane because it's was it last year? Wait, I want to actually look this up.
It was a couple years ago. But anyway, so he was sexiest man of the year, another Voice co-host. And at the end of this People story, Blake says, when people would say to Adam, Mr. Sexy, you'd always see him go, well, aw. You know, like, Adam Levine is being very gracious and humble and shy about it. Mm-hmm. And then Blake Shelton says, if you say that to me, it's going to be, you're damn right I'm Mr. Sexy. I've been ugly my whole life. If I can be sexy for a year, I'm taking it. That's funny.
He's not, that's the thing. He's a charming guy. There's really nothing. It's like grown, but it, you know, if you... I get it.
He's a charming guy who's obsessed with gender.
I get it on many levels.
Whatever.
Yeah. He also has one of the worst tattoos of all time on his forearm. Have you seen this? Do you know what I'm
talking
about?
That barbed wire?
It's barbed wire, but it has moose tracks in it or something. But this looks like duty. Like it looks like shit. It's one of the ugliest male tattoos I've ever seen in my whole life. And I've noticed it a lot. Like, it's not just now. Like, I notice it all the time. It's terrible.
He's holding up his arm, like, kind of showing off his pit. And you kind of wonder... It seems
his
like he's
pit.
Making an armpit joke, you know? Like, he's like, smell my pits. Oh, I'm stanky today, babe. Like,
okay,
he's so gross. He's so gross.
That's an amazing impression. That's an amazing.
Oh, thank you.
That was an amazing impression of Blake Shelton. Yeah, I think people who watch The Voice will be pleased. Everyone else will be confused. But good thing everybody watches The Voice. So really, that's just the majority of our country.
Really quickly, I'm very sorry. I want to read this with this quote.
What?
Shelton does try to stay in shape by exercising on the treadmill and eating as healthy as possible, though all bets are off when he's at home in Tishomingo, Oklahoma. Quote, it could be 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I eat and I realize I'm starving, so then it's a bag of Cheetos. And there's a Sonic in town. They got jalapeno poppers. And then I'm not hungry again until 10 o'clock. Well, what's in there? Fish sticks. And like a big pickle. Those pickles that come in own packages with juice? It's really bad. Kind of. Like a
guy, you're in love with him now.
I kind of. Yeah, whoops, I'm in love with Blake Shelton. Okay, so my new crush is Blake Shelton.
You can name the babies and he'll name the dogs.
That's canon. That's canon.
He's like, no Cam, I'll
like
say that.
Kicks Colton Haynes out of you know, canon and puts Blake Shelton on top of this hideous pedestal. Oh my
so
God.
So last year it was The Rock. The year before was David Beckham. The year before was Chris Hemsworth. And Adam Levine was in 2013.
Oh my God, time moves so slowly. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, happy people, sexiest man alive day to you. And we should start with some calls.
Hey, Bobby and Lindsay. First time, long time. Third time trying this call. This is Michael, and I'm a producer in New York. And Bobby was wondering out loud about the payments for actors playing multiple roles in the same project. And I can tell you that if they are getting paid SAG scale, which is the minimum for the union, that they do get paid for each role they play. So two roles they get paid double, three roles they get paid three times, etc. But Candace Cameron Bure is definitely not getting paid SAG scale, so the minimum. And I'm sure that her agent negotiated a hefty pay bump for her flexing her muscles to play that the actors in Switch to Christmas. All right, then. Good form, Bella Thorne. Thanks.
I like that this producer sort of suggested that I was saying the right thing. I was on the right track.
For once in your
some
life.
Cases, and, you know, in maybe an actual Hollywood production, she would get paid double. Maybe Lindsay Lohan got paid double. But in this instance, it appears Candace Cameron Bure only got one paycheck. Bure.
You know what? Maybe she just did it. It's Bure. She just did it for the love of the craft, you know?
Can you tell that story about your cousin coming up to you after the show?
Well, now it's just you told it. But at our Boston show, which was amazing, my cousin Lyle, shout out Lyle, hello, came up to me after the show and he goes, great show, just one thing. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Like, Lindsay said Bure.
I said Bure, but it's because it's like it's a sportsman's name.
Yeah, it's a sportsman's name. She's Candace Cameron.
Like, how am I supposed to know? Come on.
So good for Candace for, you know, negotiating something good, but not the best possible paycheck. She probably deserves it, but we should withhold judgment until we actually watch
it. I was going to say, let me see the movie, and then I'll let you know whether she deserves double. End of the month.
I believe November 28th?
Is it on the calendar? It's on the calendar.
I think it's on the calendar.
We just have to find
Lala, we're coming to your house.
Has...
Hey, Lala, yeah. We're going to your house.
Lala, do you have Hallmark Channel? We need to send out a mass text that's like, who has Hallmark Channel? Please go and check for us.
If Lala doesn't, Lala, we're going to subscribe to Hallmark Channel on your behalf, and we're going to watch at your house.
Play the next call.
Hi, longtime listener calling from Denmark, obviously from U.S. You can hear by my voice. I've never called you before, but now I felt very compelled because you said everyone celebrates Halloween. Not true. It's so stressful living here in Scandinavia because they do not celebrate Halloween. People are totally confused when I showed up to work this year wearing a wig. Yeah, I don't know what's going on over here. But that also made me start to think, who are the Who holidays? Maybe you could give us a list? All right, thank you. Love you guys. You really are the best. Bye.
First of all, I said that they for sure celebrate Halloween in the UK, and they do. I didn't say the entire world, though I do sympathize with you for not being able to celebrate in Denmark.
You should just be able to wear a wig also in general, like anytime. So I don't really understand why that would be a problem.
Do we want to do who's and thems of holidays? I know we've done who's and thems of Jewish holidays.
And I don't even think any of the Jewish holidays even crack the normal holiday list of thems. Sadly, no. Hanukkah might. The thems of holidays are probably just like Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's.
Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, and maybe 4th of July.
Oh, 4th of July, for sure.
4th of July, my favorite holiday.
And then the Whos are the ones that you don't probably might not get off from work. Like, the Whos are the ones that only some people get off from work.
Yeah.
Like, Veterans Day. And like, President's Day. Those are the ones where, like, you don't want to ask your friends if they're free because they might have not gotten it off. And then you'll feel bad, you know?
MLK Day is a them holiday, a disrespected holiday because not everyone gets off work, but it's definitely a them holiday.
It's very disrespected. I just feel like the days that people mostly get off from work are them holidays and everything else is a who holiday. Mm-hmm. So technically, like, Hanukkah is not even really them because it's really kind of lumped in with Christmas.
It's so many days also.
Eight days. Maybe. Well, you know, you can't fault it for being long, okay?
I'm not faulting it. I'm just saying I think that works against it when it comes to, like, you don't get off work. You know what I mean?
Right.
What are your favorite holidays, just to go off on a tangent?
Oh, what are my favorite holidays? I really like Thanksgiving because it's centered around food.
I love Thanksgiving, too.
And I like July 4th because it's usually when you, like, go on vacation. It's
that's why those are my two favorite.
Yeah, really? Those are your two favorites?
Those are my two favorites, yeah. Thanksgiving and July 4th.
I just feel like I'm always, on Thanksgiving, the food's good. And then on July 4th, I'm always doing something really fun.
Right. And I like July 4th is one of those fun days where it's like you don't even have to make plans until the day of.
No.
And plans just bubble up and it's great. Yeah. And it's always fun.
Because there's always somewhere to watch fireworks, but like not watch fireworks, just like go hang out and have fun.
Yes. Next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Jack calling from San Francisco. I just watched something very troubling on Facebook. It was a trailer for this movie called The Greatest Showman. And it's like full of thems. It's like Hugh Jackman, Zendaya, and Zac Efron. The only who in the cast seems to be Michelle Williams' wig. But I was calling to ask, like, this movie is like incredibly hooey despite being filled with like thems. And I feel like that's oftentimes like a very like common thing. Like there'll just be movies that are full of like just thems like coming out the yin yang. And I was wondering if you could like go through some other like very in theory themy movies that are actually incredibly hooey. Okay. Thank you. Good form, Bellathorn. Bye.
You're saying it's hooey because, like, it's essentially this huge, cheesy, spectacular Christmas thing for, like, bored families on Christmas, right? Like, it's just, it's so thirsty, right? Is that what we're kind of getting from here? Also, it's like, you think it's going to be bad, which, you know, might be bad. Probably will be bad. So you're sensing some hoodum in here.
Yes. But I was Googling something because I was thinking of the perfect person to describe this phenomenon that this caller is talking about, where it's a movie filled with thems that ends up being very, very hooey, can actually be seen in an excellent Tumblr created by our friend Joe Reed called This Had Oscar Buzz.
Oh, yeah, that's like exactly...
It's exactly what you are describing. And it's about movies that are usually early winter, late fall, in sort of the dead zone before the actual awards movies start coming out. And it's like, I'm looking at something like The Founder with Michael Keaton, Miss Sloane with Jessica Chastain. They're usually ensemble movies.
Maybe that's what's hooey about it, is that they have more PR push than they do substance. So you have this movie that feels like it's 99% marketing. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I just got a package from Amazon. The box was The Greatest Showman thing. The box, the literal fucking box was The Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm. And you could take like a photo of the stupid box and like open a QR code. Mm-hmm. It was just like the most obscene garbage thing. But that's the example.
It's exactly it. So I'm going to go through some of these on Joe's Tumblr, which is perfect. This had OscarBuzz.tumblr.com. Rules Don't Apply last year. Remember this?
Yep.
Warren Beatty, Annette Bening, Alec Baldwin, Candace Bergen.
No one saw it.
Also, he worked on it for 100 years. It was some passion project for 100 years. Collateral Beauty. Remember that? Will Smith.
Kate Winslet.
That was Helen one of the Mirren, best. Edward Norton.
That was one of the best movies ever, though. Did you ever see it?
No.
It's so good.
No. My favorite one that I think... Oh, Suffragette, Carey Mulligan, Helena Bonham Carter, Meryl Streep. No one cared.
Mm-hmm.
Freeheld with Julianne Moore and Ellen Page.
Oh, man, that was
apparently
such a
terrible.
Bust. Yeah.
The Counselor with Michael Fassbender, Penelope Cruz, Cameron Diaz, Javier Bardem. Mm-hmm. Cormac McCarthy wrote the screenplay.
I guess my question for you is, does The Greatest Showman have Oscar buzz? No. Yes?
No, I think it does. I think it has Oscar buzz.
Because of the music.
And I think just because of the music, yeah.
The music is written by the La La Land people.
The La La Land people slash the Dear Evan Hansen people.
Like, can you even, like, cash in a paycheck quick enough? I mean, have you heard the songs? They are horrendous.
Oh,
I will play one right here for you.
They're so bad.
It's fun.
The one that is, I saw someone tweet about this, but it's so true. The one that's really terrible that I think the bearded lady sings, it's called This Is Me.
No.
And it's the one that's in the trailer.
Yeah, it's like, this is me. This is me.
Constructed to be inspiring, but it's actually like full of cliches and bullshit and not in any way interesting. But it's like, it features this like instrumentation and this chorus that like gives you those chills, you know? I saw this tweet that was like, fuck this. Why do I have chills listening to this bullshit? I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was very funny, whoever you were. But it's like, they're so formulaic, but they're not in any way interesting or like unique or worthy of whatever praise is going to be heaped on them. But the last movie I want to name that is kind of the joke that always reminds me of Joe. Hello, Joe, if you listen to this, is this movie Evening from 2007.
Okay. I don't remember
it. Who could tell you what it's about? Who could tell you anything, but the posters and the trailers just listed the names, and it seems like it would be an Oscar movie, but no one saw it. Claire Danes, Toni Collette, Vanessa Redgrave, Patrick Wilson, Hugh Dancy, Natasha Richardson, Mamie Gummer, Eileen Atkins, Meryl Streep, Glenn Close. I have no idea. I never saw Evening, Lindsay. I think it was based on a book.
Evening.
A drama exploring the romantic past and emotional present of Anne Grant and her daughters, Constance and Nina.
But the poster is just a list of names with a boat under it.
And then like a silhouette of people hugging. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's literally perfect.
This had oscarbuzz.tumblr.com. We can do the next call. Oh, also, don't see The Greatest Showman. Never see it.
I'm going to see it, so.
I'll see it.
I'm seeing it.
You're going to see it with MoviePass, so it's barely going to get money.
Good.
Good. Good. Good. This
Good.
Is me.
Zac Efron sings, I see a movie. That's it. That's the deal I've made with the devil. Next
Zendaya
movie.
On a trapeze, I guess I'm in.
We have another movie call, actually. So let's speak great. Of like the opposite type of movie. Why don't you play it?
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I just had a quick question. So there's this movie called Call Me By Your Name. It is with Armie Hammer and an up-and-coming actor named Timothy Chalamet. And just question, who is he? I saw him taking pictures with like Dakota Johnson at like some Hollywood film festival or something. On Just Jid. Do we have information on him? Is he like a new up and coming thing? He's kinda cute. So I was like, what's going on? Okay, you don't okay, bye. Thank you. Great podcast. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
First of all, I wanna say I'm
Love Please that you got embarrassed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to assume this caller is does not identify as queer in any way and is very straight because...
I mean, you can assume, but...
seeing the reaction of like gay people have known about Call Me By Your Name for like 70 years.
Like, it's true. It's like you've been waiting for this for like since the beginning of... Everyone came out of the closet and they were told about Call Me By Your Name.
The book was written only 10 years ago, but still everyone has been anticipating this movie for 100 years. And so it's funny to see like the movie is literally already out and this caller calls in and is like, there's apparently this movie called like Call Me By Your Name and like Armie Hammer's like gay in it. Meanwhile, like everyone I know is like, Armie Hammer's fucking gay in this movie. Oh fuck, like the peach. Anyway, like did you see his
Don't
cover of Out?
Spoil it again.
I won't spoil it again. Anyway, Timothée Chalamet is the co-star of Call Me By Your Name and he's sort of up and coming. He was in Interstellar briefly. He's in Lady Bird. He's one of the love interests
in
Lady Bird.
He's in Men, Women, and Children, one of the worst movies of the past 10 years.
Which I didn't see because you hated it so much.
Oh, it's so bad. I've never... it's like... It's truly bad. Mm-hmm. On every level, that movie can be bad. And not even like funny bad, just like bad bad, you know?
He was in a good movie that's on Netflix right now called Miss Stevens with, what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Lily Rabe.
He was in Love the Coopers, one of my favorite promos for...
Stop
one
it.
Of my favorite promos ever
but
was
I
Love
first
the Coopers.
I first saw Timothée Chalamet in Homeland. He was in the second season, the terrible
yes.
second season of Homeland,
yes.
where he was like the vice president's son or someone's son.
You were the only one watching, which
who
is
was
crazy.
Like problematic. And then the really annoying, the terrorist, Damian Lewis's daughter. Remember the second season focused so much on his
no one
horrible
remembers.
Family?
No one remembers. Like, why would you?
But he was like a shitty son. He plays like... kind of a shitty kid in a lot of things. I don't know if he does in Call Me By Your Name. Well, he's not really a shitty kid in Call Me. I mean, I don't know them.
What's his whatever. Like personality? Do we know?
Like dark and mysterious, but still like asshole kid from New York City.
No,
he's
IRL.
Very much a Manhattan
oh.
kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is he's a Manhattan kid.
But he, so he's French, but he lives in, he's was from Manhattan?
Born and raised. His last name is French.
Oh, but his full name is French.
Well, he's his name is French, but he is American. He was born in New York, he was born in the United States.
No, I thought he was just like a French. I thought he was French. Oh my God, wow, I'm learning. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought he was Columbia. French. He Why does he have such a French name? He's 21, FYI, so you guys can totally, like, crush on him and, like, be horny for him if you want.
His dad is French.
Okay, but his name is so French. You would assume his name
is as French as it possibly could be.
Literally. No, literally the most French name.
Anyway, he's... I'm not sure if I'm fully convinced that he will be a thing, but they're pushing him right now.
I think he could, because the Call Me By Your Name thing is very special, but then people also saw him in Lady Bird as a love interest, and were very much like, he's a standout, or that he,
he's
like,
funny.
Did a good
job. He's not the standout. He's by no means the standout.
Really?
That's, I mean, Shearsha and Shearsha's friend, the Feldstein, what's her name, Bernie?
Bernie Feldstein.
Bernie Feldstein.
Oh, yeah,
she's
I forgot you saw it. I haven't even seen it.
She's the standout. But the only other thing to know about Timothée Chalamet is that he used to date Madonna's daughter, Lourdes.
Oh, my God. You're right. That was when he was first, like, known.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he first got press.
Look at this picture of them, like, in high school together. Wait, I'm putting it in the doc.
This is the most, like, New York kid thing to happen.
I know. Like, you dated Madonna's daughter.
It's, like, only because of a New York kid situation, which, oh, my God. They're so cute. They're so cute. He's so cute.
Love it. Wait. So in Lady Bird, his role is, like, he's always reading, you know? Like, he's always, like, reading books, and he's always, like, being very, like, morose about everything.
It's wild what happens when you see a person who's supposed to be playing themselves in high school, actually in high school, and what they looked like in high school. Just, like, hilarious, the difference between why you shouldn't have a 20-year-old play someone in high school, but whatever. Go ahead, yes.
Anyway, they broke up, and that's all we have to say about Timothée.
Timothée Chalamet.
I can only speak for the book. I can't speak for the movie, but I'm seeing the movie this week. And maybe I'll provide an update as to whether or not I actually...
Oh, wait, you haven't actually seen...
I haven't seen the movie yet. No, I'm seeing it this
neither
week.
Have I. I haven't either.
I'm seeing it Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Are we done with Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah, we're done.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This is Katie from Portland, Oregon. Side note, please, next time you're on tour, come to Portland. So I was scrolling through Facebook, as one does, and I saw a article about a Smallville actress by the name of Allison Mack, who is the lead recruiter of a self-help cult called Nexium. I'm a little disturbed by this. I don't know really who Allison Mack is. Maybe you can tell me more and what led her to join a cult after Smallville. Also, is this cult the new Scientology, the new, you know, Andrew Keegan cult? I don't know. I'm a little disturbed and confused. Who's in them the cult? Celebrity cult? Anyway, if you could tell me more, that'd be great. Thanks. Bye.
Love that you were asking if it was the Scientology or Andrew Keegan's cult, which are literally could not be further away from each other in terms of cults. Like, like Scientology is like evil, like probably the most evil thing
accused
ever.
Of like one of sexual abuse,
every type of abuse, and
meanwhile,
stealing people's money and being a scam. Meanwhile, Andrew Keegan's cult like literally disbanded because they were illegally selling kombucha in Venice. Like they really, like, they really. I feel like you shouldn't defame Andrew like Keegan's like, cult like that.
It's like a criminal. It's like a, you have like criminal masterminds running the other ones, and then Andrew Keegan is just some idiot who got a good deal on some house by the beach. Like,
right.
He just wants more friends.
Yeah. I think it's disbanded because they lost their Venice.
They lost their house, yeah.
House. Mm-hmm. But this cult, called Sex Cult by Daily Mail, I think actually correctly, I'm not even saying they were exaggerating, was revealed in the New York Times to be very bad a few weeks ago. It got a little bit of attention because sex cults usually do. There was branding involved,
The daughter of a famous actress was in it.
The Dynasty actress's daughter.
The original Dynasty.
Shout out Dynasty.
Not the one we promo. Spawn.
Yeah, the original. Her daughter is in the cult and she was like, please help my daughter. And so it got a little bit of attention because it was just a little bit, you know, scandalous or whatever.
Catherine Oxenberg. That's her name.
And then a few weeks later, or like a week later, the Daily Mail, God bless them, came out saying a former Smallville actress, Allison Mack, is second in command of this sex cult. And then Christ. It blew up. All it took was some F-list actress from Smallville to really blow the this thing up.
I mean, poor Katherine Oxenberg was going on Megyn Kelly and all these shows being like, my daughter is stuck in a sex cult. I can't get her out. Help me. This is like Scientology. It's terrible. And everyone was like, sorry, sweetie.
We're going to need someone more interesting.
And the moment you mentioned Smallville, the America's like, what?
Oh, my God. Not Smallville. Not actress Allison Mack from the hit show Smallville. So if you watch Smallville, which, like, I feel like everyone did for two episodes and never again, she played the, like, blonde sidekick who was, like, a reporter. I forget their name in it.
Not Lois Lane, but, like, the Lois Lane type.
No. Lois Lane was Kristen Kreuk. Mm-hmm. Remember her? Mm-hmm. Remember when those people were, like, gonna be huge, but then they were never huge? Who was Superman again? What's his name?
Brandon Routh? No.
Brandon Routh. No, it's Brandon Routh.
No, that was someone else.
Who was?
Tom Welling.
Tom Welling. God. Wow.
Anyway.
A lot of Supermans fallen by the wayside to get replaced by none other than Henry Cavill. Okay.
So many who's.
So this cult is, like, pretty serious. They involve themselves in branding. It's called Nexium. NXIVM. Their website is currently down. I think they're going through some issues right now because they've been exposed. Mm-hmm. It started as a self-help group, I think, and then it became basically Scientology Junior.
I think they still call themselves a self-help group. Like, that's how they get you in.
And there's an evil guy named Keith Raniere, who's known as the Vanguard, who is the head of it. And there's been lots of reports of him, like, making women starve themselves to, like, be attractive to him, and then, like, lots of other bad things. And she, Allison, is apparently second in command, which I thought was interesting because they didn't mention it in the New York Times article. And then it came out. And then I read this blog. Of course, I'm like reading the blog. This blog called The Frank Report, which, Frank, you're doing great work out there, Frank, who has been covering Nexium for a while. And he wrote a blog post called Where is Allison Mack? And basically it was him looking at the New York Times article saying, why didn't the New York Times report that Allison Mack was like one of the leaders of this cult? And his thought was that the reporter didn't think they had enough information to think that Allison Mack was not a victim. Like, they weren't sure whether she was actually a victim or a perpetrator. And so
it sort of seems like both. It sort of seems, how it reads that he
brainwashed
recruited
her.
Them. But who knows? I mean, who knows? Everything is speculation at this point.
Who knows? Anyways, the hooey angle of this is just wild and also just shows that, like, you could literally have one of the most horrible human rights offenses out there in the world. But if you don't have an F-list celebrity no one's going to pay attention to your, like, terrible thing. That's
which
really
also
all
shows
I have to
like,
say.
I mean, it's also like a pro tip to anyone out there who's going to start a cult. Like, don't invite any F-list people, because if you invite F-list people, you're going to get exposed.
Right. Like, how mad? Yeah, you're going to get exposed, because this could have just like blown away. People were like, oh, we're shocked. And then it went
the
away.
The most
but
disturbing
then
thing about this, the branding is wild, because if you look at it from one angle, it looks like a KR. Because the name of the founder
is Keith Raniere. Yeah.
But if you tilt it 90 degrees, it looks like AM for Allison Mack.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy. So clearly she's, if she's getting her initials on there, she's clearly high up.
Yeah.
Give her some agency here, New York Times. Anyways, this is disturbing. We should move on.
It's really disturbing.
Here's the next call. I'll play the next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Second time, long time. I called on, I think, Monday about Lori Loughlin being the matriarch of Hallmark. And honestly, fuck that question. I have something better. So I see that there's been a lack of a black Who Weekly, what do you call it, Whodat? First off, that should be brought back, for sure. If you need a correspondent, hit me up. I know you don't know who I am. I refuse to say my name for fear that someone out there is listening and will figure out that I listen to this podcast religiously, and I just kind of like to keep my podcast listenings on the low. But if you need a Whodat correspondent, please let me know. Also, I keep calling with no, like,
good tea, but I just would like to inform you that you were talking about Caleb McLaughlin on Stranger Things, and honestly, in the black world, he's still a who, but he's like creeping up to them status, and I'll tell you why. Over the summer, there was a great little biopic by the name of The New Edition Story that came out, and it was on BET, the Who Dat channel of the century, and he played little, I think it was Ricky Bell, who is a New Edition, also Belle Biv DeVoe. And from that, everyone's like, yes. So now all these black people are watching Stranger Things, and they're like, yes, you better go, Caleb McLaughlin. Yes, you better go, little Ricky. And honestly, it's just such a great thing in the Who Dat world. And so I just want to let you know, if you're trying to be in the Who Dat know, you should keep Caleb on your radar. But shout out to Millie Bobby Brown, who is not related to Bobby Brown, also of New Edition. Do you see how this comes full circle? Once again, if you need a correspondent, just shout me out on the show, and I will be your new Who Dat correspondent. Shout out to past Who Dat correspondents. Shout out to you guys for being amazing. Love you. Okay, bye.
First Great of all, call. You're hired.
You're hired. No, look, we've been trying to schedule this, but a thing you might not know about Shawn and Amina, JK, you probably know it about them. They're very successful people.
Why did we choose two extremely successful people to be our Who Dat correspondents? Honestly, it's actually so
They're very important and we're successful so people, and they yeah. don't have time for our stupid podcast. So it is hard to book them just because they are very busy people.
You
They're
guys have no ideas how many times we've been canceled on for Who Dat. Trust me, we are trying to get Who Dat. Like
they
we
try.
Want, we would God want Who Dat every them. Week if we could. But these two are very important, and do not bother them. Okay.
But so very good call.
So we would love to have you as our as an additional Who Dat correspondent. Please call back anytime. I would love for you to say your name, but I understand you don't want to expose yourself for listening to this stupid ass podcast.
She keeps her podcast listening on the low. I love it. Caleb McLaughlin didn't know he was in the New Edition movie.
Did not know.
The New Edition story.
Also, I'd heard about that biopic being very popular, but didn't actually see it, but heard that it was like a thing that people really enjoyed.
That it was one of the good like music biopics, because they always make they made that Britney Spears story that was bad.
I watched the TLC one with Lil Mama. I watched a lot of them, so
the TLC
I didn't see
one
that
wasn't
one.
That bad. I watched
it
that
was
one.
Pretty bad. Come on,
it wasn't terrible.
It was pretty bad.
I really liked, I do like that as the like breadcrumbs where it's like, well, like black people watch Stranger Things because of X. Good yeah. insight. Good yeah. insight. Had no idea Caleb McLaughlin was such a them or increasing them in the black community. Love mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. I looked at his IMDb. He has a new show coming out called Ooh. Final Space on
what is that?
TBS.
Cool.
And it's a Fred Armisen show, so it might be popular, mm-hmm. you know. Fred Armisen is in it, and that guy Keith David, Ron Perlman. You know who else is in it, Lindsay? You know who else is in it?
Who?
Barb, Shannon Purser.
Of course she is. She's
iconic.
She's in everything. The least deserving person of our attention is Barb, is Shannon Purser. I'm sorry. I just
Emmy nominee Barb.
Any attention that she got is like 45 million times more than what she deserved, which is a little attention.
are we done with this call?
No more Stranger Things. Yes, keep yeah. going. Thank you for calling. Call back anytime.
I love that you don't give your name. It's the best. Never give your name. It's
yeah,
wonderful.
Like you want to be our correspondent, but you refuse to identify yourself. Perfect.
Our anonymous Who Dat correspondent. Because Shawnee and Amina are the busiest people on the planet.
Hi, this is Kylie. I'm a longtime listener, second time caller. I was just calling because I read in my People magazine today that Derek Huff wrote a song and he has released it, and I can't bring myself to watch the video or listen, because I just can't today, so I was hoping that you guys would do it for me and report back on the podcast. I think he's trying to help with a anti-suicide charity, which is very noble, but with everything that's going on in the world, I just am not sure a single by Derek Huff is really what we need. Anyway, good form, Bill. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
I mean, dear caller, I just want to let you know that I listened to the song. It's exactly what you think. Exactly what you think it is. It's Derek Huff singing a song. Let me play a little bit of it here.
It's about suicide prevention. His heart's in the right place.
So you need to step outside of the fact that, like, this is, like, a, he is trying to do something good, but just the execution is so Derek Huffian, like, it can't even be avoided.
Derek Huffian. I think it's just Huffian.
Oh, true. Just like the other Huffs.
He plays a veteran suffering from PTSD, and it's very cinematic, this video.
He directed it, FYI.
He's multi-talented.
You know, I mean, these Huffs, they do it all, right? They sing, they dance, they act, they have clothing lines.
Yeah, and it's a delicate subject to like, talk about, but it is just, I think I'm trying to be kind here, because, again, yeah, he has good intentions, but it's just so funny to me that his version of doing a PSA and speaking out is to be like, guess what? I wrote, directed, starred in, sang a video about this. Like, right. Aren't I incredible? Right. You
it's
know?
True. I mean, and it's also very interesting that suicide song by Logic, the 1-800, the suicide hotline song with Alessia Cara, that's like number one song right now. Yeah. So it's definitely like a thing that people are thinking about. Mm-hmm. It's important. But yeah, the most Derek Huff thing is to be like, I care. So here I'm going to create this thing that involves me, starring me, by me, created by me, like, produced by me, yeah. I'm me, hello.
And if you read the comments on YouTube, most of them, the bulk of them, are like, thank you for sharing this, and they're sharing personal stories about how they've dealt with suicide in the past, like people in their extended family who've died by suicide. But then there's one little comment right in the middle that says, OMG, it's Vicky from Vampire Diaries. Which is like, okay. Like 13 comments down, you've got, is that Vicky Donovan? It's like, oh my God.
It is though.
Yeah, it is Vicky Donovan.
Okay. I think with that, now that we've like officially really, we've talked about a sex cult and we talked about Derek Huff's suicide prevention song. We're heavy really, stuff. We should kick ourselves off the air here.
We really should.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in to our Thursday extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
The two greatest showmen of your lives, me and Bobby.
This is us.
Congratulations to Blake Shelton, the world's sexiest man alive. May you continue to be sexy forever. And thank you. Oh, one more thing. If you live in New York City, you missed our first show. Maybe you saw, but you had the best time of your life. We're doing another show. You're so lucky. It's literally this weekend for the Brooklyn Podcast Festival. Amazing. And guess what? It's like at 5 o'clock, so you don't even have to stay out late on a Sunday. It's like the best Sunday plan you could ever have.
Oh my God,
it's
amazing.
And we have special guests. I'm not going to say who they are, but really excited. They're going to be amazing. We're going to be amazing, obviously. And you should come and have fun and buy some exclusive gray and blue hats. Yeah. And that's it.
We'll see you on Monday. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You will say that. They want to know.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
I can't just run off and join the circus.
Why not? I mean, you clearly have a flair for show business.
For show business?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of it.
Because I just invented it.